Tonight I begin with a question. Have you ever asked to become a son? Obviously, when I was born, I did not ask anybody to become a son. I became a son of Jim and Helen Atchley without even having to ask. But I remember a time when I asked to become a son. Jamie and I had been dating for about a year. Somewhere after 6 to 7 months, I think we realized that we were going to wind up marrying each other someday. But it was time to make that a little more official. And after we had agreed that we would marry each other, there came the task of informing our parents. My parents lived in Rockwall, Texas at the time. And I think I simply called them over the phone and told them what they not only had expected, but I think had been fasting and praying for for months after they met Jamie. But then there was the issue of her parents. Her parents lived in San Antonio, and Jamie really wanted me to go to San Antonio and ask her father for her hand. Now, I must confess that my attitude was wrong, and I was full of pride. At this point, I had been preaching for 2 years. We had been dating over a year. We were both, I think, fairly mature young people, and I didn't see why I had to ask for anybody's permission to marry a girl who wanted to marry me. And I still remember we were driving to San Antonio, and Jamie kept saying, "You need to ask my father if we can get married." And I kept saying, "We don't need to ask anybody if we can get married. We can tell them we're going to get married, but we don't need to ask." "No, you need to ask my father." And so I suggested to Jamie, "Here's what we'll do. When we get to your parents' house and we all gather around for a family meal," and her mother is a marvelous cook, "if your father asks me to lead the prayer for the food, I will take that as a sign, and in the course of the prayer, I will say, 'And thank you, Lord, for bringing Jamie and I together, because we're going to get married.'" "But if he does not ask me and ask someone else to lead the prayer, I will take that as a sign that I need to ask for your hand." So we gathered around the table. I'll never forget this. And James Lydett looked at me and said, "Rick, would you pray for our food?" I bowed my head. I said, "Our dear Father." And about that time, I felt a vice grip on my knee that cut off all circulation. And somebody was not focusing on the Lord at this moment. And so I took this as a sign and merely thanked the Lord for the good food and hands who prepared it. And later that evening, alone in the room with my now beloved father-in-law, asked if I could become his son. The gospel story is really the story of a family. And so when it comes to prayer, it's all relative. That's the first thing we learn in Prayer for Dummies. Matthew 6:9, "This then is how you should pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." We cannot tonight get any further than the first two words. You see, we're so familiar with the verbiage of the Lord's Prayer, we fail to realize what a startling start Jesus used. The disciples had never used, and they had never heard anyone else use, the word Father as an address for God in prayer. There's a well-known Bible scholar of the past generation named Joachim Aramaeus. And he has done an extensive study of the literature of ancient Judaism. And he writes, in all of the prayer literature of ancient Judaism, there is not one single reference to Yahweh as Father. God is called or referred to as Father only 14 times in the entire Old Testament. And in those times where He's called Father, it's never in a personal or individual sense, but it's in the sense that He is the Father of the nation Israel. He created Israel. And yet, here comes Jesus. And just in the section in Matthew 6, 1 through 18, where He's talking about acts of piety, He calls God Father 10 times. 14 times in the whole Old Testament, 10 times in 18 verses about prayer and fasting and giving. And He calls God Father 200 times in the four Gospels. The first recorded words we have of Jesus were to His parents, "Shouldn't you have realized I would be in my Father's house? About my Father's business?" The last thing Jesus said before He died was, "Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit." Folks, this is startling stuff. The Jews were scared of the name of God. That's one reason why we don't exactly know how to pronounce His name revealed in Exodus. We call Him Yahweh, but it's our best guess. They wouldn't say it. When the scribe would write the name of God, he'd take that pen and throw it away and never use it again. Now, their devotion was laudable. They were trying to honor and revere God. But their misguided devotion produced a concept of God who was distant and maybe even indifferent. And so, the first barrier that those of us learning to pray must hurdle is this one. That prayer is to a person, not to a power. That prayer is to a Father, not to a force. And Jesus is presenting and advocating a whole new attitude about approaching God. What He's saying, write this down, always conclude that the Father wants to hear from His kids. That's the attitude you take for prayer. That a father always wants to hear from his kids. In other words, God is not so high and mighty that He's too busy or too important to hear from you. He never says, "Can you hold that thought? I don't have time right now to listen." Perhaps two of the best known pictures from the Kennedy administration were of the president in the Oval Office with his kids, Caroline and John Jr. In one, you see John playing under the desk, and then you see Caroline and John dancing for their father who's clapping. Do you think they had any clue where they were? They are in the office, the most powerful office on earth. Do you think any kid that wanted to could play in that room? No. But the president's children could. He was their father. I'm the same way. My kids can always get in to see me. The receptionist knows, I don't care what meeting I'm in or where I'm at, if the phone rings and it's one of my kids, I want to be interrupted. They can walk into my life anytime they choose. And they can talk to me like a dad, not a title. Recently, Jamie had supper ready, and I was back in our bedroom, and so she sent our 11-year-old Matthew back to get me to tell me to come to supper. And so he came into the bedroom, and he said, "Oh, omnipotent creator of our lineage, thou art magnificent in every way. We honor thee who graciously deposits our allowance to us. Oh, the glory of thy majestic self. We beseech thee to come and dine with us." I don't want my kids to talk to me like that. I want my wife to talk to me like that. But not my kids. They're my kids. That's all I need to know. I enjoy it when they want to be in my presence. And so does the Heavenly Father. And this is the most important thing to learn about prayer and where you start. Jesus says over one chapter later in Matthew 7, verse 7 through 11, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For whoever, everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." You say, how do we know that? How can you be so sure that's what's going to happen? Well, which of you, if his son asked for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, you'd give him a snake? Now, if you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? You see, when it comes to prayer, it's all relative. Let's be more specific. What does that mean? Some important implications. First is that we've been adopted as children and heirs of God. Now, Jesus is saying here, we can approach God as children of the King. Just as Caroline and John Jr. could go into the Oval Office, we can go into the throne room of the Almighty because we're children of the King. Now, let's be real clear about something though. He is not saying that everybody has that right. To call God Father is not an entitlement. It is a gift bestowed on those who have received sonship. Now, in one sense, God is the Father of all men because He is the Creator. But creation does not guarantee fellowship. Before you can enter the throne room as a royal heir, there must be a transfer of sonship. Just as I went to James Lyda and asked, could I be received into this family as a son? So the same thing must happen in the spiritual dimension. And such a transfer is the will and the good pleasure of the Father. The Bible says in Ephesians 1, 4 and 5, long ago, even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave Him great pleasure. Most of you know that our oldest two children are adopted. Now, sometimes you hear the expression an unplanned pregnancy. Let me tell you, there is no such thing as an unplanned adoption. Adopted kids are not recruiting parents. Parents are seeking kids to adopt. That's how it happens. And in some ways, there's a commitment there to love that is so powerful you have to experience it to understand it. I love the story of the little girl who was adopted, and somebody asked her what that meant. She says, it means I grew in my mama's heart instead of her tummy. Now, can you understand how an understanding of your new family status might affect your prayer life? Might you pray more boldly and sincerely if you really believed it was the good pleasure of the Father to adopt you? You've heard me tell the story about Baron Rothschild, the world famous financier. He stepped out of a carriage one evening and gave the driver a tip, and the driver looked at it disdainfully and said, "Sir, your son always gives me a good deal more than this." And Baron Rothschild said, "Well, I dare say he does, but you see, he's got a rich father, and I don't." If you've got a rich father, it changes how you live and think and pray. Now, folks, this is where you start. This is 101 prayer for dummies. You've got a rich father, and he's adopted you. Galatians 4, 5 through 7. God sent him, Jesus, to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because you Gentiles have become his children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, and now you can call God your dear Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are His child, everything He has belongs to you. Would it change how you prayed if you believed that? Romans 8, 15 and 16 read, "So you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into His family, calling Him Father, dear Father. For His Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we are God's children. We have gone from orphans with no hope to heirs with no fear. And the price of the adoption was all relative. It cost God the one and only Son." And that's the second important implication. That we've been accepted because of our faith in God's only Son. Now let me throw you a little curve. Hang with me for a second. We are now sons, but we are not, nor will we ever be, the Son. And so, when Jesus said, "Pray, our Father," He gave us a phrase to use that He did not use. Look with me at John 20, verse 17. He's speaking to Mary Magdalene in the garden right after He raised from the dead. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to Me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to My brothers and tell them, I'm returning to My Father and to your Father, to My God and to your God." Notice, He didn't say, "I'm returning to our Father. My Father and your Father. My God and your God." Why? Because His sonship is different. He is the unique, the one and only Son of God. He is Son by nature. We are sons by adoption. He is Son by right. We are sons by grace. And it is our recognition of His unique status that makes our own adoption possible. Let me say that again. What made our adoption possible was our willingness to put faith in the unique status of Jesus as the Son of God. Look at these verses, John 1 through 12. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Galatians 3, 26 and 7 read, so you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all of us who've been united with Christ in baptism have been made like Him. What does that mean? It doesn't mean we have His essence. It means we have His, we are now sons too. We have been received into the family. We now have status as heirs with Christ because we put faith in Him. And it's our acknowledged belief in His sonship that transferred sonship to us. I told James Lida, I want to go public for your daughter. I want everyone in the world to know, and I'll go on record, I'll make vows in front of witnesses that I want my love for her to never be broken. And he said, welcome to the family. I receive you as a son. That's what you did when you were baptized. I want to go public. I want to make vows in front of witnesses that I pledge to love Jesus as long as I live. And his father says, welcome to the family. I adopt you as one of my new kids. See, our adoption, folks, is based on faith, not on our feats. Our merits did not earn our new status, and our demerits cannot lose it. My kids were not adopted because of all they did, but because I loved and wanted them. And nothing they can do can change the fact that they're my kids. That will change how you pray. The reason some of you struggle to pray is because you're not convinced your Father wants to hear from you. Those of you that are baseball fans remember the name Keith Hernandez. He was a player for the Cardinals and the Mets in the 80s. A career 300 hitter, most valuable player in the league 1 year, in the World Series 1 year. Many years he was an all-star, a great, great baseball player. And a terrible relationship with his father. Because he could never be good enough. And he said one time in an interview, Dad, I have a lifetime, 300 batting average. What more do you want? And his father said, yeah, but someday you're going to look back and say, I could have done more. How can you have a relationship with a father when you're never good enough? That's why some of you have a hard time getting your prayer life out of the shallow water. You somehow have bought the lie that your status with God is somehow dependent on whether or not you've proven yourself worthy of it. Listen, I don't want you praying timidly because you don't feel like you merit your Father's ear. We have the Father's ear because of the merit of His Son, whom we have confessed. And His Son is the only mediator we need. I do not need a priest. I don't need Mary. I don't need the help of a saint. I don't need any of you to help me get to God. Jesus is good enough. The Bible says, Ephesians 2:18, now all of us, both Jews and Gentiles, may come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. You see, the adoption was paid for by the Father through the Son, and it's final. So pray like it. Best definition of a father I ever read was this one. A father is a man who carries photographs where his money used to be. The father paid the ultimate price so he could put your photograph in his wallet. And I tell you something else. The father has a lot of photographs in his wallet. And that leads to the last thing we have to learn tonight. And that is that we've been afforded the privilege of living in and loving on a new family. Because notice, Jesus said, our Father. Even though he's talked about praying in secret, playing in the closet, he says, when you pray, our Father. And the word our ends all claims to selfish prayer. In fact, I want you to notice there are no singular personal pronouns in the entire Lord's Prayer. Our Father. Give us. Forgive us. Lead us. Deliver us. We function in a much larger box than our own prayer closet. We got a family now. You've probably heard the names of F.B. Meyer, Campbell Morgan, and Charles Spurgeon. All three great, great men of God and preachers in London in the 1800s. Campbell Morgan preached at Westminster Chapel, Spurgeon at Metropolitan Chapel, and F.B. Meyer preached at Christ Church. Of the three, his church attendance was the smallest. And he confessed that for some time he struggled with envy at the large crowds that would go to hear Morgan and Spurgeon compared to those that would come to hear him. You know what he said he began to do? He began to pray that God would grant them even more fruit, that their churches would get even larger. And he said, it wasn't until I could pray for them and not just for myself that I found peace in my heart. Now, here's an amazing thing. Meyer said, and my prayer was answered. And so many people started going to their churches that they couldn't hold them, and the overflow filled up my church. None of us is an only child in the house of God. And the Father does not want us coming to Him while we're bearing bad feelings towards one of His kids. Jesus said, stop going to the altar with bad attitudes about some of God's kids. In other words, stop beating up your brother and sister in the bedroom and then thinking you can go into the den and sit in daddy's lap and get something. Prayer warriors belong in platoons. And when you talk to the Father, you need to think about the other kids. Howard Hendricks tells a story. He used to teach at Dallas Seminary and was a member of a church there in Dallas, and they were having trouble finding someone to teach the junior high boys class. That's a pretty common problem in every church everywhere. And someone came up with a name, the only name that would agree to do it, and Hendricks said, you've got to be kidding that young man. He's one of the least gifted people I've ever known, but no one else would do it, so he did it. And Hendricks says he revolutionized that class. And Hendrick was so impressed, he said he invited him over one day to lunch at his house. And he said, tell me, what are you doing that's made that class so strong? And that young man pulled out a little black book. And on each page of that book, he had a picture of one of his boys. And under that picture, he had some notes. Things like, this one's having trouble in math. This one comes to church without his parents. They won't bring him. This one wants to be a missionary, but he doesn't think he's good enough. And he says, I pray over those pages every day. And I can't wait to get to church on Sunday to see what God has been doing in their lives. So what have we learned? We've learned that prayer starts with two basic fundamental beliefs. I must be convinced I'm a beloved child of God. And I must be concerned for his other kids too. When it comes to prayer, it's all relative. So, I told you I was going to give you a chance to practice, because we're learning to pray. I'm only going to give you about 5 or 6 minutes. I want you to find one person. It can be the person right next to you. It can be your mate. It can be someone you met. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to say to that person, you know what? You are so blessed tonight because you are sitting next to a beloved royal child of God. And I would love to go to my Father, who has a storehouse of blessings, and ask him to give you a blessing tonight. What could I ask my Father to bless you with tonight? Maybe there's a physical need. Maybe there's a struggle they need to pray over. Maybe someone tonight is really having a hard time believing they're a beloved child of God. And that's the blessing they need. But I'm going to give you about 5 or 6 minutes. When you hear Ryan and the praise team begin to sing, I want to ask you to begin to close your prayer. Get with one person and say, what could I ask my Father to bless you with tonight? Do that now.
Lord, listen to your children pray. Lord, send your Spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children pray. Send us love, send us power, send us grace. Lord, listen to your children pray. Lord, send your Spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children pray. Send us love, send us power, send us grace.
Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the world on earth is done.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of
leaving your spirit till the work on earth is done.
Yeah, and that's the last thing I just want to say real quick. When you think about prayer, it's simple. Always conclude time with the Father by mentioning His Son. It's all relative. And I don't think that Jesus meant that you say in Jesus' name at the very end of a prayer, although that's a good thing to do. I think what He was trying to say is, I made the adoption possible. When you mention me to the Father, His heart fills with joy and a smile comes over His face. You probably remember that great old story of the dad that took his boy to a carnival for his birthday and he got to take some of his buddies. And the dad bought a whole bunch of those tickets and he'd pass them out one at a time and the boys would go to different rides. And suddenly, one little boy he didn't recognize came up and asked for a ticket for a certain ride. And he didn't recognize him. He knew he didn't bring him. He said, I don't know who you are. And the little boy said, but that's okay. Your son said if I mentioned his name, you'd give me a ticket. Jesus said, just mention my name. Mention my name. Because it's all relative. Some of you tonight need to confess that name. You need to be public about that name and ask for that transfer. That's what baptism is. Look at Acts 22 with me. Why delay? Get up and be baptized and have your sins washed away, calling on the name of the Lord. And some of you need to say, God, I would like to be received into the family. And I'm ready to go public of my lifelong commitment to love your son. If you haven't done that, do it tonight. Just come down to the front. Let me know that's what you want to do. Others of you, I encourage to go to room 109 and be prayed over by your shepherds. Let's stand up and sing.
At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue confess. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every knee shall bow at His name. He is the wonderful Counselor, He is the mighty God, He is the everlasting Father, He is the Prince of Peace. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue confess. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow at His name.
There is no other name. No name by which we're saved. There is no other
Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue confess. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow at His name. He is the wonderful Counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue confess. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow at His name. Every knee shall bow at His name. Every knee shall bow at His name.
Amen. remain standing. Remember, ladies, to sign up for the retreat. Remember to register to vote if you have it. One more thing. I'm going to put in one more plug for the Daniel Prayer Ministry. We put these on the back of the outline last Wednesday night. That was a mistake because people wanted to take their outlines home. We put them on a separate sheet. I'd like you to pick one of these up, look over it, and consider whether you could be a part of this incredible ministry. You can pray for ministers and elders. What a blessing that is to me once a month to get an email. What can we pray for you this week? And I answer it and I send it out and my prayer team prays over me. And then the next month they get the answers to those prayers. It is such a blessing. Or you could pray for new Christians. And then we need some to sign up to pray during our assemblies. It's my goal that the day will come when I preach here on Sunday morning during every service. Some people are praying for that service. Our goal would be to have teams created so that maybe once a month it would be your day. Maybe you would come to church at 8, go to class at 9:30, and then you could stay once a month and pray for that 11 o'clock assembly. It's something we're hoping that more will consider doing. If we really do believe that we're the beloved of God, then we'll take the privilege of prayer seriously. And the very first word of the Lord's Prayer reminds us, it's about others in the family and not just about myself. So please consider being a part of the Daniel Prayer Ministry. Here's how we're going to close. Des Stain is going to lead us in a prayer. But before he prays, we are going to sing a song of joy about the fact that we are heirs of the Father, joint heirs with the Son, children of the King, and we're family. And you can't sing this song unless you hold the hand of the person next to you. So do that now.
We are heirs of the Father, we are joint heirs with the Son, we are children of the Kingdom, we are family, we are one, we are heirs of the Father, we are joint heirs. Children of the Kingdom, we are family, we are one.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are just so thankful that you have allowed us to call you our Father. And Father, help us to understand just what that relationship and what that name really implies. That we have a special relationship with you through your Son. Father, we thank you that we are adopted and that we are heirs and that that one day we will be able to be with you in heaven and look at you as our God face to face and understand and come to realize what that relationship is all about. And Father, give us a heart that desires to share that relationship with those many people who are out there who are lost and seeking and who don't have family in heaven. And help us, Father, to become a part of that family by bringing them to you through Jesus. We thank you, Father, for what this church means to each one of us, and we thank you for the relationship that we can have with each other as children of yours and brothers and sisters of each other. And we pray, Father, that we would strive to glorify your name and to have the kind of unity that Satan would never be able to break through if he tried, Father. Help us to overcome the strongholds of Satan and achieve incredible things for you in this part of the world through this church. As we go our separate ways, Father, I pray that you would just simply guide us and bless us and help us be mindful of the relationship that we have with you and with each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.